From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Hand raised, guys, whatever we're calling this thing, on every Thursday. We've got some news to talk about today. The SEC, at least the plan for a schedule, has come out. We have not seen the actual schedule yet, but what they are planning to do this season has come out this afternoon. 10 SEC games, SEC games only, and starting a little later, September 26th. So we'll dive into all that today on the show and some other topics as well, because we kind of already had some stuff planned. And then now this has come out, so obviously we'll take priority as we start the podcast. This podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You can go and fuel up as safely as possible. They have the plastic sleeves to make it where you don't have to touch the pumps. Also, with the SpeedPass Plus app, you don't have to touch the card readers. Don't have to keep Q-tips in your console like yours truly. You can be as safe as possible there, filling up with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call the number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. Shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the service. You'll love the product. Corey wants to be a car guy. He wants to be a truck guy. He'll prove that to you when you make the call. 662-257-1900. Guests join us throughout the week all the time on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters on the Water is open. The Sardis Marina, it's basically a big party all weekend. The Friday through Sunday, it is 11 to 10. Live music, po' boys, shrimp, catfish, burgers, beer, margaritas. It's fun. It's a fun place. You should check it out. They also have curbside available as well, and that number is, what is that number? 662-712-6162 is the number if you want curbside or pickup at Rafters on the Water.
So, yeah, I told Neil a minute ago, I've got a loose key on my keyboard. It's been, like, kind of on one side coming off for a while now, and now it's basically won't stay. It is the A key, which if you type at all, you know, you hit that a lot.
Yes.
And it's easier to try to sit it in place and still type with it than it would be to just take the key off and try to hit the middle of where the key is supposed to be to hit the button. I don't think that's the way to do it, but I'm going to have to do something. This is it is driving me batty as we're sitting here and anything that I'm as I'm typing. So
I'm contemplating investing in another computer, as you're aware.
You
so
are.
I understand.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're doing. This allowed us to have some, now we know dates. Now we at least know the start of what we're, deadline, if you will, for what we are trying to put in place.
We have some thoughts that we certainly can now move forward with. We know how long we've got to get it done.
September 26th, so a few weeks later than we thought, and we'll start here. Again, 10-game season, conference only. Baylor dead, UConn dead, whoever else was on the schedule.
Georgia Southern
now dead.
Dead.
And somebody else. Who's the FCS this year?
Southeast Missouri State.
Okay, dead.
That date will never happen.
Yeah. So they don't have to pay $1.5 million to Middle Tennessee until they play Connecticut. So that's saving a little cash there.
Yep.
Now, not playing Baylor costs you net about $2.5 million. I think it's about 2.7 game guarantee, something like that. And there's a couple $100,000 in all your expenses, give or take, probably. So, yeah, probably about 2.5 you're losing there.
Yep.
But
we can talk about that deal in a minute, too, because there was a lot of 10 plus 1 versus 10.
Yeah.
In this. I wrote about this throughout the day. For people who say, you never put anything on the board, I didn't put anything on Twitter and put everything on the message board. So take that. There was a lot of talk about 10 game. A lot of schools wanted 10 plus 1. I know LSU wanted 10 plus 1. I would bet Ole Miss won at 10+1. Chancellors did not want 10+1. Chancellors and presidents just wanted 10.
They wanted to limit liability as much as possible, and that they can do it in two ways. Number one, fewer games, less liability.
Yep.
And then number two, conference only, less liability. So those are the two things that they were able to pull off from a liability standpoint.
And I feel vindicated because I'd said this for months. They really wanted the NFL to go first. And not just in games, but it's a number of things here. So let's talk through it quickly. Or we can do it long-winded. I don't care. I don't think anybody else there cares. They're going to have football. We're happy. Let's the NFL start training camp before you start training camp. It lets the NFL have contact before you have contact.
Correct.
And now it lets the NFL have 2 weekends of games with some degree of fans before you have games with some degree of fans. Major League Baseball hasn't played a game with fans yet. Teddy bears and elephants and such, but no humans.
Yeah.
The Reds ground crew served as fans yesterday, so they had attendance of like 12 scattered around the area. But that doesn't count either. NFL's going to have 20 to 25% capacity at a lot of stadiums. This way, they'll play 2 games. You will be able to observe, you being the SEC, you'll be able to observe what works, what doesn't, what's a disaster, what's not, how people get in, how people get out, concession stuff. You'll be able to, you'll have to do it on the fly, and you'll have to do it really fast, but you will be able to have some data you can study, some anecdotal evidence that you will be able to point to. And then finally, today is the 30th.
Today is the 30th.
You have one, carry the 58 days to let the virus do what the virus is going to do. And a lot of people think that we have plateaued. We as a state, as a country we've plateaued, and as a state we are plateauing.
Hopefully. Number one up again today. A little concerned.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
The hope is that we start going down that slide here pretty soon. And so maybe in 58 days, we're much further down the slide and you know more. And maybe even in 58 days, you can put more than 25% in the stands. I don't know. But it gives them time to do all of those things as opposed to saying, hey, let's start camp next week. We have no idea what the hell we're doing. Never done this in a pandemic before. And let's play games on August the 29th or September the 5th or whatever. And hey, let's see what happens. And then if we have a breakout, we'll just hit the pause button for 3 weeks. They don't want to have to hit the pause button.
The SEC championship game has been scheduled for December the 19th. So it shows you what they believe to be their window, I guess is the point.
The last week of the regular season is December the 5th.
Yeah.
And then that gives them the 12th as the date for makeup games. Say Ole Miss and Auburn can't do it because one team has some cases.
Mm-hmm.
There's your move date.
So that was kind of where I was going. That's what I want to get into. That's what I want to do. What to explain as far as why you would wait. Because like I saw Barrett's lead, some other people going, hey, no, move up quicker and earlier. But there are some reasons why you would wait a couple of weeks, why you would push it back, figure out what's going on to the best of your ability and go from there.
Will Clements in the message board stream, in the right YouTube stream, says, what if the NFL doesn't turn out good? Then CFB is screwed, right? That's the issue. Yeah. I've been saying this since April. College football's never going to go first, and it's never going to go it alone. Whether you think that's good or bad is up to you. That is not an opinion. That is a fact. They are not going to do it alone. It's why I've been saying if you want college football, you're cheering for MLB, you're cheering for NBA, you're cheering for the NHL, which started last night or today. You're cheering for all of those things. But the big one that you have to cheer for is whether you like the players kneeling or don't like the players kneeling, or you like the social stuff or you don't like the social stuff, you gotta cheer for the NFL to get off to a great start in camps. and figure it out.
Quickly, the reasons I'm getting asked on the thread a little bit. I mentioned Middle. Ole Miss isn't playing Middle Tennessee. Ole Miss had Middle Tennessee schedule. Connecticut needed games. Connecticut isn't playing Middle. Ole Miss said that they would play Connecticut but pay Middle. So Connecticut, just in an effort to get games, actually isn't getting money from anybody. But that doesn't go into effect for Ole Miss to actually pay it unless they play Connecticut. So yeah, just quickly there. That was $1.5 million. I will say this too. Does conference only also help you from the standpoint of allowing you to implement the force majeure in your contracts? Because if you pick and choose yes. non-conference dates,
yes.
all of a sudden those group of five teams go, whoa,
yes.
you're liable because we could have played you. You chose not to play us.
This eliminates that.
Yeah. To me, this eliminates tons of payouts from a contractual standpoint.
That's why the ACC, a lot of people were really surprised with what the ACC did, going to a 10+1.
Yeah, that brings liability in.
It does. Now, the rule that they have is, you know, the plus one must be inside your state. So, like, Wake Forest and Duke and North Carolina, they're going to all be really scrambling to see who can schedule who.
Yeah.
First.
Mm-hmm.
East Carolina, I guess.
Yeah.
The SEC just didn't want to go down that road, I don't think. And I also don't think they wanted any – I think they wanted to have complete control over testing, information. This way, everybody tests on Wednesday. You get results by Friday. The opponent knows the results. And it's not – it's yeah, everybody's going to do it. It's a competitive thing. It is, except if you've been watching any Major League Baseball, I don't know how much you've read about this, Chase. The clubs are really communicating with one another more than ever before. And that's going to have to happen in college football, too. The teams, the schools, the ADs are going to have to really communicate with one another. Because the two goals now are, as a league, get to the starting line.
Of course.
And then get to the finish line. Get the money. Mitigate your losses, live to fight another day.
Yeah.
Pray that the 2021 season is normal.
And as we, there's questions in the thread, as we've said multiple times, this is not going to be a conference issue as far as how many fans are allowed in stands. That is a state issue that will go, depending on whatever rules and guidelines and ordinances have been put in place from a state level. It's why Keith Carter said he wanted to meet with Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs. It's why he'd like to do it with John Cohen and whomever's at Southern Miss. As of now, Neil wrote that this morning. I continue to hear it too. 25%, at least today, appears to be the most likely thing. Now, how that gets implemented, I know a lot of people are curious about that. I've been getting texts all day. Hey, if it goes to 25%, what's going to happen? I have no idea, and thank God I'm not the person that has to figure that out. My
understanding was you were looped in on that text. You have been consulted about just exactly how they'll do this.
My recommendation would be to...
Here we go.
I'm serious. Okay. I think you'd agree with this.
All right.
To include as many families as possible without giving max tickets. So like somebody's got 8 tickets, I would still cut them to 4 or something to allow more people involved, because I think that mitigates the overall number of people pissed off. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, but you're tearing I think you have
more people, fewer tickets than the vice versa. Now, in saying that, calling that dude that's pretty high up the list and going, hey, I know you usually get 28 tickets, but that's 12.
We're going to give you 12.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah.
It is what it is. That and again, we don't know what this looks like for suite areas either. Like,
or for students.
You know, it's a good point. As of right, or visiting fans, which is going to be so minimal, it's going to be hardly.
I don't think that's going to happen, other than maybe some visiting family.
I think it's school-issued tickets only.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you're going to charge students an activity fee that includes tickets, kind of hard not to let them in.
Who the players are representing. That's...
Well, oh, no joke.
I know.
They are.
I mean, I'm yeah.
They are. So that's going to eat into it. And what do you do about bands? If you have a 100-member band or more, does that count? It's bodies. Do the players count as fans?
Have we heard anything about band? To be honest, I'll be surprised if there is band.
What about cheerleaders?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Dance teams.
But to me, the playing of the instruments with the mechanisms, the way that happens, that would make me very nervous. Because I would assume you're going to kind of spit on one. I have no rhythm. Okay, look,
right.
Like I failed beginner band in sixth grade. Like to even get into band, you had to like sit there and do the little thing. I couldn't. Like yeah. I couldn't even do it. I'm just like. Like nothing. So I failed it immediately. I don't know. But to me, that would seem like it would bother.
You weren't a good dancer?
Dude. Like, when I say no rhythm, I mean, I'm completely tired. Like, I think, in all seriousness, I think it's one of the reasons why I don't listen to music much. It's like, I like music, but I don't pick up
you
beats. Know,
you can't tap to the beat or whatever.
No. I don't think I have enough rhythm to even follow it necessarily. So I just listen to podcasts and it is what it is. But yeah, no, I'm not sure there will be band. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Again, you're the one looped in on this, not me. So I don't know how that's
but yeah,
going.
We don't know about suites yet. Ole Miss is going to, look, every school is going to fight for as many people in suites as possible because that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I don't know. As of right now, it would be seen as a food service area, and it was like a executive order 1496, I think, maybe amended to 1500, whatever, that said it would follow restaurant guidelines, which would be 50%.
Okay.
Now, that was not built for that. That is a loose interpretation, but I do believe it creates a baseline for where we are as this thing, kind of moves forward. So I don't know, but that's the thought there.
Bring up a good point in the YouTube stream.
What's that?
Tony the Land Shark, does he get in? Does he get one of the 25?
He wouldn't make the cut.
This is an excuse to get rid of his ass.
Well, because, you know, you can't put multiple people in the same costume. So I'd use that as excuse.
Right.
And, hey, no, right. We're good.
Yeah, just kind of let him fade away.
Out to sea.
Yeah. Well, out to land.
Sorry, I'm forgetting. Because he's not a shark.
Because he's a land shark.
Jesus. The rumor is
that... Even Jesus hates that mascot.
Look, we could be wrong in 5 minutes. The rumor is that they will just grab the two teams next in the rotation as far as how you fill the schedules. If that's the case, Ole Miss would play Kentucky and Tennessee, I believe. Those would be the next two up.
That's correct.
I believe even if they followed it completely, it would be Kentucky at home and at Tennessee. But again, these are just... pragmatic guesses, if you will, on kind of what we expect to potentially happen, but that's that. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I expect the suites to be more than 50% capacity. I really do. And people was asking, you know, the purpose in general. That's all extra money. That is things that's needed, but just playing the games. That activates the TV revenue.
A little bit of news from Ross Dellinger about what you were just speaking of.
Sure.
Ross tweets, I was spitballing about the two additional SEC games in 2020. I'm now told that a separate scheduling model composed by the league office using strength of schedule will determine the two additional opponents for 2020. If the league... simply use the next two opposite division rotation, it would disrupt the 2021 and 2022 schedules. Some are not in favor of such a model, thus a new scheduling model is expected to be used. All right, go ahead. Well, in English, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to scrap divisions for a year, rank them 1 through 14, and one plays two in the SEC championship game.
Okay.
Or they're going to do the division thing and try to do it where, again, it's all about getting to the finish line. I'll tell you a rumor that I heard. I don't think it'll happen. But the first time that I heard about this 10-game SEC schedule,
mm-hmm.
I can't even remember who sent it to me. I mean, I would protect the source here because it was a source, but I wish I could remember. This was 2 months ago. You know who Ole Miss opened with?
Alabama.
Mississippi State at home.
Oh, that one. Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I did see that.
And that makes some sense, pragmatically, if you're trying to start slowly. Why?
The closest
Mississippi State's 2 hours away with a escort. They're, what, about an hour and 45 minutes away? If you play that game at, let's call it, 3 o'clock, they could leave Starkville at 11, be in Oxford by 1, throw your pads on like you did in a high school game, get loose.
Be home by 10.
Play the game. Game's over at 6:30. Everybody socially distanced, take their shower. You're back on that bus by 7:30, home by 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Also gets in games fans want to get in. Alabama wants to play Auburn. Ole Miss and State want to play each other.
Yeah. You could see.
LSU wants to play A&M or whomever it is they play. I don't know.
You could see a September Iron Bowl.
I'm fine with it.
Sure. What I've been told consistently is everything that you're used to, throw it out. This is none of that is factoring into this. This is presidents and chancellors are really obsessed with liability. This is about mitigating liability.
Ryan Meadows makes a good point here. He says, reading the live stream and people were confused. Neil, I understand the shorter travel distance line of thinking. Everyone's either on the same bus, the same plane, the same hotel. I don't really follow the logic. I get it's less time, but it is enough time.
They don't go to a hotel.
Well, no, but even the bus or whatever, it's less time, but it's still enough time should you be a problem.
Well, but that's why you're testing.
Yeah, sure.
But you're not going to a strange hotel with people that weren't tested. If you go to the Tupelo Hilton Garden Inn, everybody who comes into the Tupelo Hilton Garden Inn didn't get tested. And so if somebody had it, was on an elevator with your players, suddenly someone gets it, spreads it, whatever. If you're testing everybody, presumably everybody that's on the bus, you are relatively sure that they don't have it. There is no 100% right way to do this. There is risk. Mm-hmm. That's why the presidents and chancellors are nervous wrecks. Cats around a bunch of rocking chairs, you know.
Yeah, because there is no bubble in college sports. So
no bubble. And so you test them on Wednesday night. Well, on Thursday night, they pull a Marlins and they go to the club.
I mean, you couldn't even keep the NBA player out of the strip club. So, I mean, it's
he went for the wings, man.
Uh-huh. It's great publicity probably for them. Oh, but
can you imagine how many wings they've sold this week? You know, seriously, you can't. I mean, that's what you hope. You hope that you test them on Wednesday night and everybody's smart and cool and nobody does anything and they don't go to classes on Thursday and Friday. They're taking virtual classes and you control it. And on Saturday, everybody that gets on that bus is negative and there's no virus to spread. Better call?
Yeah, but I mean, not going to do better right now.
You may talk to him?
I mean, no.
Okay. I will. I'll
I don't take, know. It never rings on my computer.
I mean, I'll take the call. And
I don't know why that. Why that
I don't know, Keith. What he was saying about the suites was he thinks you should open the suites up.
Well, I'm sure Keith would like to open the suites up. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
Keith would like to max out the suites. I promise. That's
however much they spent on buffets over the years, they'll save that. That ain't happening.
No. Which, the actual suites, don't you? I think that's catered in. Like, you choose off a menu and
I'm a lowly sports writer from Ruston.
The club area has whatever, but I'm pretty sure the actual suites you order off the menu.
Whatever you say.
Okay. I think that's how that works. So. Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's catered. It's set online. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was,
yeah.
I was riding.
Okay.
September 26th. So 3 weeks later.
Yep.
We have no idea what this means for schedules or anything, though. Too. Let's kind of point that out. Practices. And
oh,
whatever.
No.
I have no idea what that.
My gut is it lets them have a longer, slower drawn out, slower ramped up camp. Instead of 2 days of shorts, it might be more like 10 days of shorts. Might be forced to build in some off days in practice so that you can test.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something where you do half squads for a week.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's just, it's not going to look the same. And the people are like, so you guys are going to have access, right? No, we will have Zoom calls.
I don't think so. I don't think there'll be any access at all. Like, somebody asked me, do I want to play a course in Tennessee while we're up there? We're not traveling for road games. Well, we wouldn't, like, we've got stuff going on anyway. But
I don't think opposing media will have many seats in the press box at all. I don't know how they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Webb says, Webb, first, thank you so much for the super chat.
Our ultimate super chatter.
The best super chatter that's ever super chatted. Webb Moore says, what are your thoughts on baseball and the lasting effect on SEC football? Could you get Dr. Mike on this week? Would love to hear his view on football. Probably can't get him on this week, but I can get him on next week, I bet. Do you think it's big money only getting tickets? And then he's continues to be confident about seeing us for the Auburn game. We'll have to see when the Auburn game is. Thoughts on baseball? I don't know about baseball. You might have some more insight there. I did see in the SEC release, and I put it up at rebelgrove.com, which is part of the Rivals Network. We are just on the outskirts of a top 15 site.
So close, we can smell it.
We're so close. I mean, let me tell you who we're chasing now.
Which will get us absolutely nothing, I don't think. I don't think there's any bonuses built in for that. But, hey, it would be. It's cool.
We've worked our way up to number 16 in the network.
Okay.
We are trailing. I bet it is close.
Yeah, who's 15?
Purdue.
Oh, the Boilermakers.
Bastards. I want them.
Purdue, top 15.
I want a date with Purdue right now. We're Iowa's 14, chasing the Hawkeyes.
You'd think so the black and gold Big Ten's just like...
Yeah, just we're right there. Notre Dame's
you
right...
You think Iowa has an Ole Miss helmet up in their studio?
I don't know. We can send them one.
Yeah, okay. We can send them a Liberty helmet.
Good.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We're right in front of Kansas State and Michigan State.
Okay. What are we in the SEC?
Ooh.
Because the SEC's kind of a loaded.
Kind
of like college baseball, that's the Rivals Network.
Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, sixth. Sixth in the SEC.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all, man.
Because, I mean, the we SEC's like we the started, high cotton. I mean, that's.
We weren't six when we started 9 years ago, I'll tell you that.
No, I know what that number was. Anyway, what were you saying from the release?
Effects on baseball. Well, oh, yeah, the release is they're going to revisit. Let's see if I can find that again. See, this is where we need some music just to play for background while I search for something. Ole Miss just sent out the release.
You want the SEC release?
Yeah. Here it is. The SEC announced start dates for men's and women's cross country, soccer, volleyball will be announced as well at a later date. And they're still working on all the return to activity stuff, blah, blah, blah.
At least in the SEC, look, here's the deal. If basketball plays and football plays, baseball will play.
We can
make this a lot less complicated.
Let me make this pretty simple about basketball.
Yeah.
Okay, let me help you here. The NCAA took a bath with no NCAA tournament last year. They're going to play basketball. Now, the season might look different. It could potentially be conference only, and they might expand that tournament by 64 teams and go 128 teams and just get themselves all the TV money they can get.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play that tournament.
No, that has been my thought the entire time. Was look, I don't know what the basketball season is going to look like. I don't know who's going to play and who's going to play who. It's going to be a March Madness, though.
Yeah, yes,
sir. You are going to have basketball on that TV in March.
Let me tell you, if there's no March Madness – and it might be April Madness.
Whatever.
But if there's no March Madness, we got ourselves a world of problems.
Oh, I mean.
If you told me right now that there's no NCAA basketball tournament in the spring, my first question would be, so they played it in the summer? I mean, I'd say there's just no way. If you told me no, couldn't do it, I'd say, oh, man. I'd have to say put away all of the cyanide because it'd be rough.
Flavor Aid. Oof. Wasn't it Flavor Aid?
Yeah, Jim.
That's right.
It was Kool-Aid. Was it Flavor Aid?
I thought it was Flavor Aid. Because I think it's always bothered me. I think everybody goes, hey, drink the Kool-Aid. But I don't think it was Kool-Aid. I think it was Flavor Aid.
It's not funny. I'm sorry.
It's not funny at all. But
I'm the one laughing.
Well, no, if I'm Kool-Aid, I'm kind of like, whoa.
Hey, we didn't do anything.
I mean, it's like if it was like some second-rate bandage company, everybody goes, hey, put the Band-Aid on him. And he's like, whoa, no.
Do you ever watch Family Guy?
Very rarely.
For whatever reason, whenever the Kool-Aid man goes through the wall in Family Guy, I laugh for 5 minutes. I don't know why I find that. I find it incredibly amusing. Probably because I have the emotional intelligence of a 4-year-old.
I think I'm right. I'm looking at it. Yeah. So, okay. I'm reading from Jim Jones' Wikipedia page. Not something I planned on pulling up today. And it says, let's see, looking for the sentence. While boarding a return flight with some former cult members, that's a sentence, who had wished to leave, Ryan was assassinated and 4 others were murdered by gunfire. Jones then ordered and likely coerced a mass suicide and mass murder of 918 commune members, 304 of them children, all by cyanide poison Flavor Aid.
Flavor Aid. Yeah. Did them in. Kool-Aid said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
That's enough mass suicide joking for the day.
Yeah, we're done. But, no, look, football plays, basketball plays, baseball's going to play. If they don't play, baseball's not going to play.
If they can't play football, they're not playing anything.
Yeah, there is no budget.
Let me just go ahead and tell you.
Again, quote from a couple of weeks ago, because I asked somebody, I said, okay, so football doesn't happen. What does that do to the budget? And they said, there's no budget left. That was the answer.
Yeah, my guess on when soccer and all that stuff starts is sometime after September the 26th.
When they feel really good about football happening.
Yeah, when they think, yeah, you know what? We're going to get some money.
Georgia Rebel questioning Purdue in our stream. That does surprise me, too. I did not expect Purdue to be a top 15 site.
Yeah.
No offense to those.
No, I'm a little pissed about it.
Are you?
Yeah. Chase them. I got a goal to get past Purdue. Gonna find a way.
If you don't pass Iowa, it's okay because Buck.
Yeah, they're nice. Come on, everybody in Iowa's nice. We can get past Purdue, Iowa, and Notre Dame. Get to 13th.
Oh, Notre Dame was 14.
Yeah,
I would have thought they were a little bigger.
Yeah,
they feel bigger when you look at the sites and whatever.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I don't know why.
See. The Drew Brees X factor, Robert says. Could be.
Okay. What else you got on the subject?
They had Drew Brees. Ole Miss had Eli Manning. Drew's still going. That might be what's kind of kept them.
Eli has more Super Bowls.
Eli has more Super Bowls. But Eli's done.
This whole, and I don't blame them. Look, this is not a criticism of the players, but some of this opting out, I mean, depending on who opts out, we're shaping the NFL season a little here. I mean, I know we just need the games played. I get it. It's in my career, but hey, our window's closing here, guys. Kind of need to put another ring in if we're doing it. I'm feeling a little pressure.
I've told myself that a few times. Like, there have been a couple of days in the last couple of days when I've looked at the Cubs bullpen and I'm like, you know what? I got to watch this for 54 more games and tell myself it doesn't matter.
So you, like the college fan that's really pissed off on a Sunday morning, or at least getting a feeling of it when it's like,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
look, here's the deal, though. At least it's not like, 2022 if Lane's got this thing turned around, or 2015 if you're an Ole Miss fan. I mean, it's a season that you were just trying to build anyway. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, this is the time we're going to business.
No, it's year zero. He's got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Every game. Let's say that they play – let's just leave it at Kentucky and Tennessee for the fun and games. I mean, the only games they're predicted to win, Arkansas, Vandy, and maybe State, right? Everything else is a free shot.
But they're all, like, it just doesn't matter.
No.
At all.
None. No one's ever going to hold this season again. If you hold this season against somebody, you don't do context well. Sip Reb says, I must not have seen the story on ESPN about Iowa. I've seen it. I haven't read it yet. I know it's bad.
It's been a busy day. I didn't mean to tune out on Iowa stuff, but I've kind of tuned out on some of that Iowa stuff.
Well, we had a Rivals Publishers convention virtual today for about 4 hours, and I was working this story most of the day. So I've been on the phone a lot.
Let's see. That's until we get more news. That's probably about it from a schedule standpoint.
Yeah, they're saying the schedule comes later. I had been told at one point today that it was going to come today, but that argument, that debate must have raged too strong to try to settle that.
Yes, the football season being played like this is not the same as the baseball season being shut down after 17 games. That's not from a competitive standpoint. It's not the same thing.
No. It's a good day, though. This could have been a lot worse.
I'm going to move on a second. But why do you think several media members, some that we typically talk about negatively a pretty good bit here on the Potato Log podcast, they have done this thing where every time somebody has some news going, see, they got the SEC, and it's like, what is that about?
What?
Like, Pat Forty, he's like talking about how the ACC won up the SEC because they announced first, and they caught them blindsided, and the SEC's backpedaling and all this. It's like,
no, they didn't.
They're going to just do what they want to do. I don't
Come
like...
Come on, man. The SEC does not
play. Oh, you had
like
a whole
that.
Column on, like, if it's now up to the SEC to kill the ACC games, and they're the one that's going to look bad, and the ACC pulled this power move yesterday. There was no power move at all. Was the ACC trying to get out in front of something? I don't know. I can't answer that question. No, the ACC did a really good thing with Notre Dame. That was good for them. It strengthens that association, a team that they absolutely want in their conference. There's no doubt. The ACC gets to take Notre Dame's bowl revenue or NBC revenue for a year and split it some too. I mean, a lot of good stuff worked out in that deal, but that had nothing to do with the SEC
no.
at all.
Missouri AD Jim Sterk just told Missouri media, I've got a source in the Missouri media, said that as of right now, they're planning to start fall camp next Friday. He said he's not sure at this point, but he thinks divisions will stay in place.
Oh.
If you're starting camp next Friday, that's a month and a half of camp. Now, unless that is what I've heard, which is an NFL-style training camp where you go really slow, really ramp it up. Where it's basically they put the spring practice without pads. Remember that originally there was that talk about having like a 15-day NFL OTA-style camp, no pads, no contact before you started camp? So if you did that, you started August, what is Friday? That would be August the 5th?
Yeah.
6th?
6th, I think.
Okay. That'd be 6, 15, throw in two off dates, so 17 days. That would get you to the 23rd, take a couple of days off, and then you'd start your camp. That's still, you'd have a month of traditional fall camp. Whatever. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Lane Kiffin, you got to be excited about that idea. That you kind of get that spring training. You don't get it the way precisely that you want it, but you get 15 extra install days.
Well, that's a huge lift for the first year program, so if that's the case.
Yeah.
Anything like that is a huge lift.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
My guess is that's the way that's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I got a couple packages. We can do that.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We can do that now. We have the one that I have from whatever day early in the week when it was sitting here. It's a very large one, and the Neil has one over here, too, that came in today.
Three that they might not even be that.
What do you mean?
I have three packages, but I don't know what
you think some of them might just be household goods that you ordered? So there could be like Clorox wipes in one of them?
It could be. I mean, one of them comes from my knife store in Gold Hill, North Carolina. I didn't order a knife, but maybe Laura did. I don't know.
Okay. This is a really big box. I don't know what we have here.
It's a loud box.
Well.
What is the deal with Chinese seeds, by the way? I've seen that, but I haven't bothered to read the story.
Looks like we have some grilling stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Appears, yeah. I think that's what we're dealing with here. Let's see. Do we have a note of any kind? I'm not seeing one. It comes from...
Is this a birthday present for you?
If so, I get a lot of presents because it's my birthday a lot on this here podcast.
You've been wished happy birthday on the live stream several times already today.
All right. So, Pickin' Grillin', competition barbecue. We've got banjo dust.
Ah.
Not sure what's in that. Let's see. Salt, garlic powder, spices. So... Banjo dust is here.
Okay.
There might be some for both of us, so I'll just duplicates all lay out.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming that's what
it's very
is.
Kind.
Yes. Sweet buttery pecan, more again, barbecue, competition barbecue rub. This is appears to be a certain barbecue team's personalized rub, as appears what we have. Yeah. Buttery pecan is the other one.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
An all-purpose one as well. And barbecue sauce.
Oh.
So we each have a barbecue sauce as well. Originated in Mississippi on this one. It is distributed through Philadelphia, Mississippi. So,
okay.
Yeah. We'll try it out. We'll get back to
you. Home of Marcus Dupree, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
C.J. Johnson.
C.J. Johnson, yeah.
Ask CJ if he knows anything about any of this. So,
he probably does.
We got here. We'll try it out. We'll report back. We can do that. So, again, going to leave names off of things. That seems a little whatever, but thank you, and we'll give it a shot. So,
JM wants to know if we're allowed to live stream masturbates.
Do what now?
Masturbates.
What about it? Oh,
yeah. Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw what it was about. I didn't actually listen to the thing. I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
The end of it is hilarious. Because it's a raging masturbate. It's like, come on. All right, you want to see what this is?
Well, yeah. Are we opening all of them? Okay.
We don't have to. I don't care. This is from my knife store. Uh-oh.
You have a knife?
No, this is...
What is it?
The Toe of Satan.
Okay, what is it?
It is a... from Flamethrower Candy Company comes possibly the hottest candy on the planet. Do you dare attempt to conquer this sinister lollipop? The Toe of Satan has been...
It's a sucker?
Yeah, it has been spawned from a devastating... 9 million Scoville unit chili extract guaranteed to scorch any mortal's tongue. Can you survive 5 whole minutes of intense heat?
Are we supposed to try that?
I don't know, man. I gotta mentally prepare myself for something like that. I'm gonna put yours over there. Oh, man.
Yeah, the toe of Satan.
Yeah, at 5 minutes, you lose feeling.
So at 5 minutes, you're golden.
This product is extremely spicy, has potential to cause skin and or mouth irritation.
Whoa.
The toe of Satan is intended for use by adults only and should be kept out of reach of children and pets. This product contains high amounts of pure chili extract and is to be handled with extreme caution. Consume at your own risk, in all caps. In
okay, the box color. Is not making me want to do it at the moment.
No, the box is frightening.
Because my question at the moment is it going to impact us? And the person who sent it is in the stream. Thank you for the gift, I guess. Is it going to make it where we can't even talk and finish the show?
Yeah, and
that's more.
I got to see both of my. I get to see both of my brothers tonight for the first time since November. So I don't know that today's the day for me to do this. I'm going to leave it here, and we'll pledge to do it at some point. Sammy says, "Do not do it."
Oh, really?
Yeah. Webb says, "Give it to Bubba." Bubba might accidentally give these to.
It's made from Carolina Reapers.
Yeah, we're being called cowards, and I gotta tell you, that doesn't hurt me at all.
It's not bothering you?
No, you know.
We will do it. I don't feel like right now, when we have an hour left, or whatever we have, 40 minutes, whatever is the time that we're doing this.
We will pledge to do it. How about that? We'll leave them right here. Pledge to do it. JM says, this is not what I paid for.
Hey, we got something soon where if y'all do hit a number, we'll hold that thing in our mouth as long as you would like us to.
That is the way
to use this.
That is the way to use this as an incentive. That's very good thinking on your feet.
Okay. It's here. We have it. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. We got something coming. We'll announce that. And when we hit a yes, we will put a base milestone down that once we achieve it, we will make sure that we do this on air. Webb says, do it and then get on the Peloton. I've already been on the Peloton today. So, no.
Oh, all right. What else you got?
Oh, okay. So this, it helps to talk into the mic. This is from St. Elmo's Steakhouse, right down the street from NCAA headquarters in Indianapolis. Sent from
a bucket list location for us.
Sent from Woken. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Woken. No, Woken. No, nope. So from Indianapolis, Illinois, 127 South Illinois Street.
Okay. So from the St. Elmo's.
Here's to be from the St. Elmo's itself.
Let's see.
Well taped. Says, enjoy some shrimp cocktail sauce on me. Using the rest of the unnamed attorney from Jackson's money for this. Sorry we didn't catch up in Indianapolis. It's from L. Lewis Esquire in Brookhaven.
L. Lewis Esquire?
Yes. He works for the same firm as Lindsay Miller Esquire, yes. Oh, yes. So we have a collection of St. Elmo's very spicy shrimp cocktail sauce.
Oh, okay. So we have a steak sauce. What do we have?
A steakhouse creamy horseradish sauce.
Okay.
Izzy's steak sauce and the steak seasoning.
Okay.
So we'll figure out a way to have a dinner. We'll video some of it and we'll make this happen. There is no shrimp in the box.
Okay. Now, I didn't think there was, but it was a little bit of a concern of mine earlier in the day that we were not refrigerating something. So what do we have now? Or is this just something
to you? I think this. It must have sent two. This is because this is the same thing.
Oh, really?
I'll make sure.
Oh, wow.
So you have one as well.
Okay. Definitely a lot of hot stuff then, because that cocktail sauce is apparently pretty spicy, and then now between that and the sucker.
I am eager to... Ooh, God, whoa. Sorry. Yep, this one's yours.
Okay. Sit it over there for now.
There you go.
Okay. Those were good. Appreciate everybody. Those were
Thank you, Leo.
Those
were
really good stuff.
Good stuff.
This time. Let's see. If you haven't seen it, you can find it. Just gonna spend a couple minutes on this. But story in the Oregonian came out in the last 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
About an agreement between the Pac-12 and the Los Angeles Times. Essentially, the Pac-12 gave $100,000 in advertising money to the LA Times in exchange for positive coverage. Somebody with the Pac-12 told one of the reporters at the LA Times that they would turn them into one of the best Pac-12 reporters there was, with scheduled conference calls, a lot of different meetings, a lot of different things. And the story was very well done on how it kind of moved up the poll, and then also had a lot of flags from people as it kind of started getting unraveled. I guess a couple questions. How prevalent do you think this thing is at different levels? And B, I'm not criticizing, but it's very fascinating for somebody like me as a journalism nerd when you have the one newspaper reporting on another newspaper. You know what I mean?
Well, it's
completely news,
oh,
but
yeah.
It's a little, it's interesting.
Well, it's more than that. How prevalent? At that level?
Yeah.
Before this election cycle, I would have said not very.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. As someone told me today, hey, man, this business we grew up in doesn't exist anymore. I mean, this is bad. It's a terrible look for the LA Times. It's a terrible look for the Pac-12. It's the kind of thing you would expect from a fan site, frankly, right?
Yeah, like that kind of thing would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah, we'll hand you some stories if you guys promise to be nice. What's interesting is there were people at the LA Times that over the course of time called them out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
But when it's the formal agreement of, hey, $100,000.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to. They had a meeting, and essentially they hired a marketing firm who said, hey, is there anybody we can pay for positive coverage? Because that's when the Pac-12 was in all sorts of stuff on every level. Like, nothing was working out at all for it.
And the LA Times was having to lay people off, and they're looking for money, and everybody goes, well, we can help each other.
It's a little quid pro quo there that was...
If you're the LA Times at that point, though, you have to say, no, you can't buy coverage. If you want to take out advertising, you can. You can advertise. But you can't pay for favorable coverage. It's a different any different from passing out gear at the beginning of the season.
Well, there's a different level to it. Yeah, I think so.
That was spring though, wasn't it? Was that a spring practice?
Spring, because I was covering Ole Miss Alabama baseball, and I was in Tuscaloosa, and I'm like, just walking into the stadium, and Neil calls and goes, you won't believe this shit. And I was like, what? And then they're telling me the whole story, and I think it was like a game. He's like, yeah, it was a couple people. I was like, hang on, let me guess. Like, let's go through it real quick. Like, let's see who did what. That was the day I ended up, I was so embarrassed, because at Alabama, they do they've got vendors all around the park for food, but they have like an actual concession stand too, and I'm usually not a cheap person, especially when it comes to food. But for whatever reason, I was like, instead of just going and buying like the sausage dog from one of the vendors, I was like, I don't know, I'll just go to the... I wasn't overly hungry, and I said, I'll just go down and get something from the actual concession stand. Well, the only options for my meal ticket were sauerkraut hot dogs, maybe some candy, and popcorn. And I'm like, I don't know, like, just give me something that I can kind of snack on. I'll take the popcorn. Well, they said, okay, small or large? I was like, well, I've got the coupon for the whatever, large. It was in a full-size Alabama collector's batting helmet. And it was, like, huge. So I'm, like, walking through the stadium back into the press box with this huge Alabama batting helmet as you're coming back into the thing. And probably it was, like, Barry Allen or somebody. Tom's going, what in the... I was like, I don't know.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I hate sauerkraut, though. I'm not a sauerkraut fan when it comes to my hot dogs whatsoever. It's not my thing.
Not on a hot dog. I like it on, like, a... Polish dog, sausage or whatever, okay. But not a hot dog.
Yeah, just not really my thing for whatever reason.
That was a funny day, though. Hey, if you guys are going to be out here all the time, you need to look.
What year was that?
12.
Oh, that was his very first season?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't remember being that long.
Yeah, and it was.
That was 12?
Yeah, all of a sudden there's boxes of Ole Miss gear. I mean, we're all like, you know, backing away from it like it was rattlesnakes. Like, come on, man, I can't do that. I mean, you know that. And other people are diving in.
Was the opposite of what was it, Urban, that wouldn't allow like the color shirt at his practices and stuff?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Urban?
Yeah. And somebody else you couldn't wear if you wore orange, or if at Tennessee, if you showed up with, I don't know.
No, is it Tennessee? Was it what school was it they made fun of? Like, they made the woman with the hat. They got onto the woman because she had a certain hat on during a press conference.
Was that Arkansas?
Was that Arkansas?
She had a Florida hat on or something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay.
She was pissed, though.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Of course, she shouldn't have worn that hat.
There's a certain point of just don't be stupid.
Yeah. I mean, like, you and I would never go to a practice wearing any college gear at all.
No, like, and not even like the random team that clearly does not matter whatsoever. Like, I pick up t-shirts when I go certain places, and like, you're not even going to wear those where, yeah, it's like.
But you could wear like a Slippery Rock football t-shirt.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I go to the Ole Miss practice and I'm wearing a Tulane t-shirt, I doubt as much as like, hey.
What's up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you couldn't go to
it. Didn't say War Eagle across the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can't go to an Ole Miss football practice with like a Tennessee shirt on. I mean, just no. It had to be somebody that they never would possibly recruit against. Like a Division III school or something. Like if it was.
You could wear Delta State every day and nobody say a word.
Yeah.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, well, they.
Parrish wears his NLU hat.
Parrish wears his old school NLU hat. That's fine.
Yeah. Nobody.
Because if you're really battling ULM for a recruit, it ain't going well.
Yeah. If that takes up 1 second of your yeah. day, then yeah. that's.
If you're the final two on that kid, something's wrong.
Here's a little trivia for you. If you know any of these, the last winless team in each Power 5 conference, meaning the last time they went 0 for a season, would you know any of them?
The last winless team in a Power 5 conference?
In each conference. I've got the list.
Did not win a single game.
Yeah, the last one to go 0-10, 0-11, 0-12, whatever. Do you know any of them? I would have gotten the SEC one right, actually.
My guess on the SEC would be Vanderbilt.
That is incorrect.
Okay. Kentucky?
I would have gotten two of these right, and I probably would have guessed the correct team in another conference, but I don't know that I would have gotten it right.
Big Ten would be Northwestern.
No.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Illinois?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. Same state. 1997, Illinois went winless.
Okay. ACC would be Wake Forest?
Nope.
Huh.
I mean, what's the one other guess?
I know it's something brutally obvious, and I'm not thinking of it right now.
It's brutally obvious.
Help me. I don't
know. Pre-Cutcliffe Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pre-Cutcliffe Duke.
That proves to you just how well Cutcliffe has done at Duke.
That you don't register it.
You don't think of Duke as
like Johnny Manziel in a Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, you don't think of Duke as a god-awful program.
Yeah. You should get the Big 12s.
Kansas,
2015. The SEC and the Pac-12 are left. When I saw it, I kind of remembered the Pac-12, but I would never in my mind guessed it. And then the SEC, I would have gotten right.
SEC.
Yes.
An Ofer.
That's correct.
Not Ofer the league, Ofer.
Ofer, period. No, I've covered some overs for the league. That's not. You don't remember this? You were covering the league. Or you were in the league, like you were covering Auburn, I guess.
Give me a year.
1999.
Okay. I was covering Auburn.
0-11, 0-8.
Wasn't Auburn.
You did not cover this team.
Never saw them play?
You did not see them play.
Kentucky?
Nope.
It'd have to be an East team.
It would.
Wasn't Vanderbilt.
Nope.
Wasn't Tennessee. Wasn't Georgia.
Nope.
Wasn't Florida.
Nope. Who's left?
This was pre-Missouri and A&M, yep. Right? Who am I forgetting? I feel like an idiot right now.
You kind of should at this point.
South Carolina.
That is correct. Lou Holtz, first season, 1999, 0-11, South Carolina.
Son of a bitch. Who would have ever thought South Carolina went over?
Yeah, they 10 to nothing, 24 to 9, 21 to 3, 17 to nothing, 36 to 10, 30 to 10, 48 to 14. I'll skip a game and we'll come back. 30 to 7, 20 to 3, and 31 to 21. Like, there was only even one game that they were sniffing in. They played Vanderbilt to the lovely final score tune of 11 to 10.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that place that day?
That was the year that
it was not televised at all, not on TV.
Ole Miss went there after Auburn.
In 99?
Yeah, because that was – yeah, is that right? Yeah.
That is actually correct. Ole Miss beat the crap out of them, beat them 36 to 10 in Columbia.
Because that was the week that Tuberville and I – he got so mad at me because I criticized him for the shot at the Ole Miss fans. Like, why are you doing that? You're the Auburn coach. You can't do that. And he's like, oh, you just couldn't wait to stick that one to me. I'm like, well, you earned it.
Yeah, rough year. And then the last one, you'll never get it. I would never have gotten it. Washington went winless in the Pac-12 in 2008.
Oh, wow. I would not have guessed that. Yeah, I would have probably gone with Oregon State.
Leaving a Washington State prior to somebody, like that.
Maybe so.
Actually, yeah, Oregon State did kind of suck there for a couple years. It wouldn't have shocked me had that been
something. Yeah, they were really bad for a while.
So, yeah, Pac-12 2008 Washington is the answer there. So,
There you go.
Yeah, a little trivia for the day. If you're,
I'll tell you what, if that 2011 Ole Miss team can't go over, no team can go over.
Well, they won multiple
games.
How close did they?
They won two. How close did they go to over?
Well, they put an FCS team.
So trying to remember the games that they won, how much did they win them by?
Yeah, okay, here we go. 2011 Ole Miss football. They lost a nice 14-13 game to BYU to start the season.
Yeah.
They beat Southern Illinois 42-24.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, comfortable.
Yeah, I remember that.
No problems. The Pete Boone Vanderbilt game was next, 30-7.
Yes, sir.
The Georgia game the next week, where we're basically rooting for Georgia to just blow them out and get this thing over.
Georgia
with.
Kept missing field goals.
Yeah, it was only 27-13. Like, it was just whatever. And the last win was a 10-point win at Fresno State, the famous one sandwich on the bus after the game.
How could I forget?
Yeah. That was a week prior to 52-7.
The most. What was the score of the Kentucky game?
30-13. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, look, dude, the next week you missed the La Tech game, 27-7. Bear had his finest moment. I mean, we had stuff going on that night. I had the dude from the covers La Tech for Rivals sitting beside me, spending 4 hours telling me how La Tech should be in the SEC. Oh, my God. No. Stop.
No. What I remember about that year more than anything was. LSU, was it? It was the LSU game. Who was the quarterback for Ole Miss? It was Zach
Mettenberger.
No. Who's the quarterback for Ole Miss? I'm sorry.
Stout. Well, it was a lot of people, but him too.
He threw a pick six like very early.
It was
in the
like
game.
The second play of the game or something.
And I said this because this is Ole Miss football. Yeah. And I said, that is Ole Miss football. And Daniel Snowden was like, hey, shut up, you know.
Six captains on that team. One of them, let's see.
Brandon Bolden.
Was he one that went fishing Alabama week?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the captains went fishing Alabama week.
Brandon was like, so if I go fishing, will that get me suspended? Yes, I'm going fishing.
I would have never guessed a couple of these. Brandon Bolden, Wayne Dorsey.
Yeah.
I'll get the easy ones out of the way. Kentrell Lockett, Bradley Sowell. God, Bradley was on that team. He had to suffer through that. That was his senior year.
That's wrong.
Was Bradley's senior
year. We should get him on. Talk about that season.
You want to talk about 11?
I'd like to talk about a lot of things, but 11 included.
Marcus Temple.
Yeah.
So it would have been his senior year, too, because he had the Tebow stop in 08.
Yep.
And Derek Herman was a captain in 2011.
Really?
Yeah. I would never have remembered that. Yeah.
What was the Alabama score?
52-7.
And LSU was?
52-3.
2-3. So, LSU downed it at the one.
With 6 minutes to go. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's even worse than scoring.
That was the worst.
Yeah. Well,
the two things I remember about those games were the downing and watching. Always brought binoculars to games. And I grabbed your binoculars, and I'm watching Saban. and Saban's yelling at his offensive coordinator.
He was mad about Blake Sims.
Yeah.
He was playing running back.
Yeah.
And and the guy's going, I'm running the same play.
Yeah. He's yelling at his offensive coordinator, who finally turns and defeated, looks at him and says, We're doing the same thing. We're not doing anything. And Saban yells at him again, and because Saban and Nutt shared the same
representation.
So Saban was trying to protect him a little bit.
There was no protecting.
There was nothing you could do.
That Arkansas team was ranked 10th in the country that they almost beat on our infamous day.
That was Bobby Petrino's
team. That was that team.
It's a good team.
Wow.
They came in thinking they were, maybe it was an early game.
It was 11. It was 11 o'clock.
And they were
11:20.
They were just checked out.
Almost was up 17-0, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
That seems to be right. So, anyway, memory lane.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't a 49-10.
Oh. Oh. Auburn popped him a little bit.
What was the Auburn score? I don't even
41-23.
Hey, I don't remember anything about that game.
I don't remember that game at all. Like, seriously, nothing about that game.
Isn't that funny? Just don't. Of all the seasons I've covered, though, that's one of the ones I really remember the most.
Well, we spent half of the year every week thinking this is the week.
Yeah.
And it just never was.
I had a column written that I would just tweak. I'd tweak it every Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We had a hot board written that we would just tweak every Sunday.
It just stayed in the thing over and over and over and over again. Because when Nutt finally got popped that day, I mean, we had like four content items within like 5 minutes. It was like timelines and columns and whatever. Because that was the same season you wrote Pete had to go.
Yeah.
Because we sit there and talked. Hey, we published on this, And I remember just like we hit the button and like just poured a bourbon and went, all right, we'll see what the next hour looks like. And it was the night of the LSU-Alabama game, wasn't it?
No, it was the Monday after that Vanderbilt game where Pete did what you couldn't do, in my opinion, as an AD in that press conference. You can't come in there and make the coach sit in the room and rip him apart but not fire him.
Mm-hmm.
Either say nothing or fire him.
Because that was the press conference when Burns stood up and defended him in the back of the room at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. God, it was bad. The whole thing was so awful.
Feels like a different world.
What I remember about that was having to tell myself throughout the month of October, before every practice, this is your job. This is your job. This is your job. Just go do your job. Go do your job.
We're probably too early in the day for Bubba and doing his tow truck business, but line's open for a few minutes before we call it a day on the show.
We went early today because both of my brothers are in town, and I'm going to go see them at my parents' this evening. So we'll be back to a regular schedule next week.
Leif says, I miss Pete Boone tweeting at Kyle Veazey about how his paper was late in the mornings. Well, that is funny looking back because Twitter has grown so much in these 10 years almost to like some of those early tweets from like Houston and Pete and people where it's like, oh my God, because everybody's kind of learning at the same time and throwing some thoughts out there. I mean, it's the equivalent of like when Facebook gets started and like the older people just started jumping on it. And it's like so-and-so is outside and that's their status for the day. It's like checking the mail. It's like... Just like, geez. Let's see. Who are we talking to?
Hey, it's Mark Columbus.
How's it going?
Hey, you guys came on right when I was going to the gym. My girlfriend's taking a break, so I got time to call in and chat with y'all.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all's work. Can't tell you how much I've enjoyed listening to your podcast in about the last 8 months. Gave me a totally different perspective on college athletics and how the media works and all that thing. Also gave me a going down the memory lane and some of the old myth stories. This has just been fantastic, very entertaining, very informative.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
What do you think about the 10-game schedule?
Just play the games. I mean, does it, you know, I think it's obvious. Why have, I'll use Ohio State as an example, who's not an Ohio State fan. Why have Bowling Green come in here and pay him $2 million if you can't have fans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's nonsensical. Exactly.
And I think going back a few years now, Neil, you said that the Power Five is going to break away. I think this is just the impetus for it.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's funny you say that because I was having this conversation with a couple of fellow journalists today, and we were talking about this. I don't even see a path where that doesn't happen now.
And if I'm the non-Power Five, I consider playing in the spring and have the time to, you know, and have the market to myself. You know, I might not get a big audience, but you probably get some audience if the XFL and the other.
I would have to know from TV networks that there was something in that for my while, way ahead of time.
It's a really.
You're also making kids play twice in a year.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. You're making kids play twice in a year. I'll tell you this. There was just never. I never got the sense from Power Five people, and I'm not going to pretend to be like connected all over the Power Five. I'm not. I know some people in the Big Ten. I know some people in the Big 12. I know a person or two in the ACC. But I know a lot of SEC people, and I can tell you that I never got the sense that there was an appetite for a spring schedule.
I don't see how you could do it when those kids and have them turn around and play in the fall in 2021. While you're not paying them,
yeah,
rough.
Yeah, it's just I never. You would ask people about it, and they'd say, you know, I mean, we're not going to take that off the table, and you know, it's an option if everything goes to hell, and but you never, I never once heard anyone enthusiastically say, you know, that would work. Never, not one time.
My problem with the media is not that they're doom and gloom about this, because I do think most of them, 99%, besides Wan Dolkin, who wants sports. But where are the stories that talk about what happens if there is no football? I don't see them anywhere. They don't go down to the restaurant owner whose game day traffic makes their whole year. They don't go talk to the kid who may be good enough to run track at a UAB or a Memphis, who can't afford college, but he's good enough to run track there, who no longer will have that opportunity because the sport doesn't exist and the scholarships don't exist, or the kid at, you know, Southern Miss who plays on the tennis team, his program is no longer there. They don't; those stories are nowhere to be found. They don't even consider it. They don't talk about it. And I heard something right the other day from a podcast that said, "Life. There's more to life than not getting sick and not dying." What are we doing? Up here in Columbus, they're not having schools until they're not having inner city Columbus schools are not being. I'll be over there. Okay. Inner city schools are not being. They're not having school October 27th in person. So the kids in the least affluent neighborhoods who probably need the food the school provides and the structure the school provides, they don't get it. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call. Don't get in trouble. Go.
Thank you guys.
Yep. Talk
thanks.
To you soon. What time's the watch party at your house for the Preds game?
For the Preds game,
yeah.
I did watch a little Blues Blackhawks. Either was it last night or night before? One or the other. I did turn that on. It's the no fans for hockey was a little weird at first.
Yeah,
but just because all the seats are covered, but then otherwise it was.
Does the setup look a lot like the NBA setup?
Well, I mean, they're in a full arena. It's just all there's like stuff over the seats, like those banners or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, how's it going?
Hey, Dan, Chase, Bubba, what y'all doing?
What's up, Bubba?
I came in second, but it'll be all right. I just got off work. I got some good news for y'all. I decided on the puppy's name, and it's going to be Miller.
Oh, that's so a good name.
Yeah, I lost out to Mary. She likes Miller and told me I need to get over the Earnhardts. It ain't worth a darn no more.
You know what, Bubba, in all seriousness, when I had a lab named Miller. We got him. We'd been married been married 1 year, and Miller the dog was the greatest. I mean, I don't want Gus and Rizzo to hear this. He was the greatest dog I've ever been around, and he was, God, he was an exceptional athlete. He was so much fun. I loved that dog so much. So that's a great name.
Well, you know what? Mary's going to give me a hard time, but I'm so glad. It's Boykin, man. They're great dogs. And I worked today, but I took a couple days off. She had me doing chores around the house, and we had critters in the yard. There had been squirrels eating everything and possums going through the trash, so had to put some traps out. Did that. Got three squirrels and a raccoon, and always paint the squirrels and raccoon with orange paint. That way you see if they ever come back, and then drop them off at the church about 2 miles away. So, yeah, that's what I did on my day off. I was wanting too much fun, but just want your thoughts on two things. And I heard we might be playing Tennessee and Kentucky this year in football. And y'all just let me know when you have a Zoom call, and I'll try to get on. I'm on the message board, and really appreciate y'all boys, and y'all have a good night. And I'd like to see you eat that sucker. That would probably kill all of us, but
we got a plan for that. We've got a plan.
We're gonna do it, but we're gonna make it worth our while. We'll tell you that. Not gonna be free.
All right, you
all right,
boys,
Bubba.
Have a good night.
All right,
bye. Thanks.
Yeah, we don't know who's going to play. Again, Ross Dellinger there from earlier in the show. Neil saying that they were going to do some strength of schedule type model. I mean, look.
Jim Stark at Missouri said that Missouri, the only thing that Missouri knows right now is that they're going to play all of the other six SEC East teams and Arkansas.
Okay.
It's all they know.
Which would mean for Ole Miss, obviously, the West and Vanderbilt.
That's exactly right. The rest has not been determined.
So I mean, look, I want Lane in Tennessee, but I'll wait a year for it when we can get fans and the whole shebang to get to.
Much rather to get it in a year.
Let's not waste that one right now.
Don't fire all the good bullets.
No, let's hold that one.
Yeah.
Play Kentucky. Carolina, go ahead.
Yeah, whatever.
Florida and Georgia, sounds good.
Well, this would be the year to get hammered.
Get them out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. Yeah, this would be the year.
Add Florida and Georgia to it.
Knock that out.
Yeah,
we don't play them next year.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, you reset, not see the one of them for like 5 years or something.
Yeah, this would be the year to do that. I know that's not what fans want to think, but no, on the year that you presumably will be the weakest.
So we're not gonna have a podcast talking about what record is required this season.
Not one time.
Okay.
Nope. It's year zero.
Yeah.
We do need to get Mary on the podcast sometime.
We'll see if we... it's never felt like it was a possibility, but...
Well, she's busy, but we need to try.
I mean, we got that one guy to like go upstairs and put his wife or girlfriend on that night. I mean, we've pulled a couple of those off over the months.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You heard what Jay's trying to do for his football game coverage and stuff?
No.
I'm just curious.
Oh.
I didn't know anything.
I would think something fairly similar to what we're talking about doing.
Okay. Just curious.
We have not had that conversation yet. I suspect we will.
See, David Cloninger talking about there was a minority opinion of people wanting to play these non-conference games outside the league.
Oh,
majority rule.
Yeah. I know Georgia wanted it.
Yeah. South Carolina is what he's talking about. They wanted to play Clemson.
Florida, South Carolina. I think it was close.
Those ACC tie-ins were the ones that were like, hey, let's.
Yeah. I don't think Alabama did not want it.
And it also could be a deal where, hey, you know it's going to pass this way. You can let those schools vote that direction to appease their fan base a little bit,
right,
too. You can let that be public and go, yeah, sure, y'all fought us. All right, cool.
It created the opportunity for that. It took away control in a year that you want to control. And I think the Marlins thing probably killed that, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, do you really?
The Marlins thing showed people that, hey, even if you have controls, you can screw it up. So now you're going to give up controls? Nah. And then, you know, you don't have.
Oh, here, this is interesting. Josh Kendall with the Athletic covers South Carolina. He says South Carolina Board of Trustees member Chuck Allen tells the College Football Athletic, blah, blah, blah. The SEC vote was 13-1. My understanding is the vote was 13-1 with our president, Bob Caslin, being the sole dissenting vote, and part of the reasons was for his dissenting vote was the rivalry with Clemson. I think that speaks volumes about the importance of Carolina Clemson to the school and the state. Caslin, in a statement from the school, "I am pleased that football will return in the fall, that we will play our SEC competitors. Throughout discussions, I took the position that we should continue to play our in-state rival, but I support the ultimate decision." So he did not back away from that vote and the decision.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah. And Josh is good, so I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
He didn't just run with that one off the
He knows a few people at South Carolina.
Yeah, a little bit. So there's that. So we'll see. Anyway. Kind of last thing, let's get a call. So what'd you think about the guy getting suspended 8 games for throwing at the Astro?
Well, I loved his response. Well,
okay, saw that.
Okay. So it's a little complicated.
Okay.
Did the Astros deserve it? Yes.
100%.
Okay. I'd never take up for Rob Manfred. And I don't want to take up for Rob Manfred, but I catch myself taking up for Rob Manfred. He had to grant immunity to the Astros players to get what he got in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to talk. So he couldn't suspend them after he gave them immunity, because that's what immunity is. And you can't throw 97 miles an hour at people's heads. I think if Joe Kelly would have plunked people in the ribs, even with all the talking, we wouldn't be talking about this suspension.
Oh, really?
But he threw at their heads, man. You can't do that. I get it, but you can't do that. Baseball's got all sorts of unwritten rules, and he violated a bunch of them. And then when you're the pitcher and you throw at somebody, you're not supposed to talk. And he jabbered. And at a time when the last thing they want is a fight because of coronavirus stuff, he damn near caused a fight.
That's true.
And so if you're Manfred, you've got to say, there's a way to do this, and that ain't it. And someone goes, well, I mean, if you think about it, that would be 20-something game suspension. But Manfred can't think like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not one to defend him, but I think it is what it is. And then Joe Kelly's response is hilarious. I'm not apologizing.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly very clearly has a couple of loose screws.
Not the most congenial baseball player out there. Phillies have 2 positive tests. Series to postpone, but again, it's
gonna be okay.
Yeah,
Leif says he's trying to call in, but it says to dial a random number to connect.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's up. I don't know. Let me check something.
It's one of the things we're gonna get a lot of things ironed out between now and September the 26th. We're gonna be a little better at this.
Joe West left in the bottom of the first inning in today's game after he was hit in the head
with the bat, right?
Yeah, and bloodied. Yeah, Bo Bichette's flying bat.
Oof.
Nationals and Blue Jays today. So, anyway, just a little thing there. But anyway, I don't know. It's showing everything fine on our end. But yeah, we'll definitely sure it up. We have time to get some other things into the system.
Yeah,
some new things, and
we've got a really good plan that I think people are going to really enjoy and people are going to be excited about. And now that we have a season schedule, or we'll have a schedule soon, but we have the blueprint of a schedule, we're going to be able to move forward with some things. So today was a good day for everybody, including us.
Yeah. So hope you're all happy with the news. Again, 10 SEC games. Hopefully everything goes as planned. This will be in podcast form on Friday morning, and we'll be back with you next week as everything continues to go. Starting to get some news, starting to get a little closer to things in the fall. So appreciate everybody. Appreciate the unboxing stuff today as well. We'll talk to you again on Monday.